Imagine if your daughter, your niece, is on one of these boat rides, and you got Joey Ryan emceeing. Can you picture it now? Now, unfortunately for this boat, nobody on this boat seems to be in Joey Ryan territory, but picture Joey Ryan emceeing this boat, and Joey Ryan, now he's got, now remember, he's got all these hot babes. They're on his boat. Yes, everyone, they were on his fucking boat. He didn't do anything. Let's make that clear. He wasn't inappropriate. But just imagine what was going through that guy's mind with these women on the boat. Is it a crime? I don't know. But just imagine this. Those girls on the boat. Oh, now we approach the elephants. Look, ladies, the elephants, look at that long, hard trunk. Look at those hard trunks, and look, they're squirting out water. Look at that. Oh, yeah. In fact, let's do that in slow motion. Oh, look at that. The elephants, they're happy. Those long, hard trunks gushing this liquid, this warm, beautiful liquid. Oh, want to make out? I don't think so. Well, if that didn't help, let's go check out the monkey. Oh, yeah. Let's check out the monkeys. Look, the whatever those things are. Look, here comes the monkeys. The gorillas. Hey, speaking of gorillas, I wrestled a pro wrestling gorilla. In fact, that gorilla looks like some rat that I kind of like made out with one time. Look at those gorillas. Ooh, look at the big, strong bodies. Those beautiful looking gorillas. Oh, my God. Oh, look at that. Oh, just look at that. Just gives me back to my days of pro wrestling gorilla and being around all these ugly, gigantic gorillas. Want to make out? Ooh, look, there's a cave. Would you like to get a better view of that cave? Tell me you wouldn't be creeped the fuck out if Joey Ryan was your MC. And oh, here's the best part. Here's the best part. And just imagine if Joey Ryan was on that land with those girls. He could cosplay. Hey, do you want to be like one of these people that I'm going to pretend I'm the gorilla and you're going to be, I don't know, just somebody on a desert island and you're going to run up this totem pole. That's me with my stiff horn. And that's all of you climbing up the pole. Look, that is you up top. Oh, let's look at this closely. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Look at that. Oh, up and down, up and down, up and down. Yes, I edited it and made it look like, oh, look, yeah. Yeah, that could be you. You. You get a free park pass with your visit. Oh, yeah, look at that. Oh, yeah. Come on. You're going to actually have Joey Ryan be there. Get the fuck out of here. We brought him back one more night. Shout out to everybody who said, those don't look like Max Dupree glasses. Those look like Sally Jesse Raphael. Oh, my God. Props to all of you that said that. Happy 4th of July, everyone. I am Don Tony. This is your WWE post-Raw recap. And then some. And tonight, I look down, there are no notes. I have a couple of things on the screen. I took some highlights from tonight's Raw. We will get into it. We'll get into a couple of news tidbits as well. And that little clip that I thought it was so nice, we had to air it twice. That was from yesterday. It took a little life of its own. And my God, at the very end of last night's show, I posted a graphic again of it, and I looked at that fat blonde chick on the boat. I was like, oh, my God. It's like too perfect to be true, because didn't Tammy have relations with Joey Ryan back in the day? And she looks just like Tammy. Maybe just had a couple of little too many churros over at Disneyland. But much love. I hope everybody had a great weekend. You know, my thoughts and prayers with everybody in Illinois, What a horrible thing that happened today. You know, I see the reaction to it, and everybody reacts differently. And obviously, some politicians will turn it into, you know, something for their agenda. But it just goes to show you, it goes to show you that if I want illegal drugs so bad, I will go out and I'll find somebody to get it for me. If you ban assault guns, you know, if I want it that bad, I will find it in the black market. It'll make it harder. And that could be the difference of somebody changing their mind and realizing, you know what, it ain't worth me ruining my life over. So I am for harder restrictions on guns and banning some weapons. But this goes to show you today that you, me, anybody who is tuning in, if you're that warped in the head, there's really nothing stopping you from getting what you need to get, going where you need to go, and doing what you want to do. It's just fucked up. It's fucked up. I don't know the answer to this. I don't. All I know is that if people, and I really believe this, I didn't always feel this way, but I feel this way now. I feel if people do, you know, practice what they preach, treat people how they want to be treated, it lowers the climate. When everybody's having a good time, laughing, having fun, you know, it is less of a chance of somebody being extremely angry. But when people just want to put people down and shoot things down and anger, 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 and hurt, 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 and cancel, 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 then people either get a warped view of it and they think they got to go over and beyond, or they do the opposite. They feel we got to fight for what's going on. So I truthfully believe that getting along really is part of the answer, but it'll never be the complete answer. People have been whacking people in droves for hundreds of years since these types of weapons have been created. You know, it's just they manifest into different versions of it. So anyway, my thoughts are with them. Anybody who's ever been affected with something like this, whether directly or indirectly. But tonight, I'm going to be a little selfish. We're here to have some fun. We're here to talk about wrestling and a few other things that are going on. Most of tonight will be Raw. It's the 4th of July. I definitely want to get a little bit of earlier night sleep tonight. Tomorrow, and Patreon is off the cuff, so it's going to be a very down-to-earth show as well. And later on, we're going to be drawing another set of AEW signed photos, CM Punk and Sting, somebody from the watch party on Friday. And Neil Ray gets two shots on the wheel as well, because we kind of gypped him on one shot last week. So he gets a redo. Got to show you something. And look, this is another reason why I don't like Twitter much anymore. Because if you shit, you know, like, you get a wide response, but if you try to, like, be funny, lighthearted, try to get some type of an answer, 99.9% of the people out there are not even going to pay their attention to you. They're not going to waste their time. So I always feel if I need to do research, I do it myself. And I ended up doing it myself tonight because I asked a question on Twitter about 30 minutes ago and nobody responded. So, you know, it just gives me another reason why, you know what, for everyone here, whether you're on YouTube or Blue Wire, Pro Wrestling TV, or Patreon, or the website, I do this for you. For everyone else out there, seriously, they just don't give a shit. But I saw something tonight on Instagram. Now, Liv Morgan, props to her, man. New SmackDown Women's Champion. We celebrated it Saturday night with the Money in the Bank recap. We celebrated it last night on the Don Tony show recap. And, you know, the whole wrestling world has opened up. AEW stars, old school, new school, WWE, you go down the list. A lot of love for Liv Morgan. So leave it to someone on WWE's payroll that works for Instagram that does this. Devin M, I know you didn't see it on the screen, everyone, but he just got engaged. Congrats, my friend. Congrats. I get married 2 months from yesterday. So much love. Props to you, Devin. Congrats. But as you could see on the screen, you know, if people still are looking at it and like, I don't see what's wrong with it, they hashtagged Alexa Bliss instead of Liv Morgan. This is WWE Instagram tonight. I mean, you know, could you imagine if that was Montez Ford and Kofi Kingston? You know, you'd have all these people, all black people look the same. Yeah, how many of you had that? You compare the Street Profits to the New Day. Oh, why? Because they're black? No, because they're party, feel good, having fun, physiques. There's a lot of reasons why. But here, we got Alexa Bliss and Liv Morgan. They don't even look the same. They don't even look similar. But yeah, that happened tonight. Now, when some of you ask me, well, DT, what did you ask online that nobody bothered to respond? I said, you know, I remember not too long ago, a couple of years ago, somebody made a major fuck up on a TV show. They interviewed somebody from WWE and got the name totally wrong. And I said, does anybody remember who it was? Not even. People didn't even say, DT, I don't remember. Not even that. People are liking it. I didn't fucking ask you to like it. I asked a question. How do you all like that when you ask someone on, especially on Twitter, hey, what do you think of Bobby Lashley versus Gunther at SummerSlam? Do you like it? Okay, then you like that. But if somebody says to you, hey, you know, is this the first title that Liv Morgan has had in WWE? And they like what you say and they don't even answer you. It's like, I didn't ask you to like my shit. I asked you a fucking question. So I asked social media earlier, who was the person? Because I know we talked about it, we had laughs. Nobody answered, so I had to find out. Literally 5 minutes before we went live. Friends, who remembers this? Who remembers that? He ain't hype! Fox 11, God love California. California. I'm not going to do Snoop shit. Anyway, yeah. They took Mojo Rawley, and it, not only did they put Sami Zayn, they misspelled Sami Zayn's name on top of it. Oh, God, that's just horrible. Now, I could see an outside news source that does it, but somebody who works for WWE, you have that roster crying in happiness for Liv Morgan. How does someone legitimately make the fucking mistake like that? There's no excuse for it whatsoever. Seriously. I see that for Liv Morgan tonight. I feel absolutely horrible for her. Look at that shit. Look at that. Unbelievable. Weren't planning on that tonight, but it happened literally about a half hour before we went live. Mojo Rawley. I feel bad for Mojo as well, but it was a fun conversation we had back then. So, look, you know, I could tell sometimes when people tune into the shows and when people don't, but we've already had two shows where we have cleared this up, where we have the answer. And I still have people tonight, hey, DT, you think it's Gable Stevenson? You think it's Bray Wyatt? You think it's Chavo Guerrero? And I'm like, Stu Knotts, we talked about it on the Money in the Bank recap. We talked about it on the Don Tony show. We showed video, we showed screenshots, we showed everything. These are screenshots from the cryptic video. There is only one person that this is referencing to. It is the return of Edge. This is the third show now, third, that we're saying it. This is not a question. This is not clickbait. This is not a rumor. This is a statement. That cryptic video is for the return of Edge. If you watch the video in slow motion, slow it down as slow as you can get it, you will see that it's all retrospect of Edge's career. from when he was walking the subways in the streets, when he was with the Brood, when he was with Edge and Christian, when he feuded with the Hardys, feuded with the Dudleys, feuded with Eddie Guerrero, feuded with Kurt Angle. This is Edge, it's his return. I would love for it to be Bray Wyatt. Trust me, if Bray Wyatt ends up coming back, we will get cryptic shit like that. And we will love every minute of it. Gable Steveson, even if Gable Steveson has trained so unbelievably that this guy is so good in such a short amount of time, you tell me, how the fuck is that entire video? Seriously, you look at that entire video and you slow it down and you say to me, why? Because there's a gold fucking medal in it? So, no, this is Edge. End of story. Move on. It's Edge. It's Edge. By the way, tonight we had Finn Balor. The big buzz online was Finn Balor wearing leather pants tonight. I don't see nothing wrong with it. Rhea Ripley wears black leather pants now. Damian Priest wears black leather pants. So they should all wear black leather pants with a little bit of purple trim. Everybody is dressing similar. Finn Balor comes out there still wearing his little tiny itty-bitty trunks. You know, kind of looks like that he is a guest tag team partner. So I liked the look tonight. There was nothing wrong. I have a little screenshot of it. When we get to the Raw recap, I'll show it to you for anybody that missed it. And I loved the finish of the Mysterios versus Balor and Priest. I loved it, but I didn't love it. And I'll tell you why in a few moments. What else did I want? Oh, we gave you a little more sausage on social media earlier tonight. Sausage. If you didn't see tonight's Raw at the intro, I picked it up. If you look at my post, I wrote it a minute after Raw started. Soon as I heard it, I'm like, oh, okay. The opening of Raw tonight. Woo! Ric Flair's woo is back on the intro. I know that's not major news, but Ric Flair's last ever match is happening July 31st. Of course, in WWE's eyes, his last match was against Shawn Michaels. But unfortunately, he wrestled quite a bit in TNA, and how can we forget the Hulkamania tour in Australia? So WWE got enough juice out of his match with Shawn Michaels. If you want to compare it, it's like somebody who retires from Major League Baseball, but then plays for like the Inter, you know, like the Independent League, you know. So his Major League career is over and he's a Hall of Famer, but he, you know, somebody plays in the Independent League. That's really what Ric Flair did. But this is legit Ric Flair's last stand. And not to sound morbid, you know, somebody who has the health issues that he has and the pacemaker and everything like that, you know, trust me, you know, you look at what could possibly happen, you know, no matter what physical condition he feels, he could feel like $1 million. Do you think that there's some way that he could talk to his pacemaker and say, you know, hey, I feel great. You know, if my heart starts going to 177 beats a minute, don't worry about it. Ooh, it's the adrenaline. I'm just soaking in. It's my last match. Come on, pacemaker, don't fuck with me. It's my last match. Give me a fucking break. Leave me alone. Woo! No. What's going to happen is, if because he's in his mid-70s, because he was on his deathbed, because the pacemaker is in there, not so he can have problems at the airport when they wave the wand. It's in there because it saves his life. My father has a pacemaker. My mother has a pacemaker. And trust me, there's some people out there. There's odds in Las Vegas right now that what's the odds that while Ric Flair is wrestling, that shit zaps him. Look at how somebody reacts when they get zapped from a pacemaker, especially in the middle of doing a move. God forbid there's a tragedy that night. So WWE back in good graces with Ric Flair. and expect some WWE stars to pay tribute to Ric Flair. Triple H, others, you know they're going to record videos for this man. Because nobody knows what's going to happen that night. Of course, we're not hoping for anything morbid or scary. Just, you know, get through the night, have his last match. Everybody says thank you, and that's it, done. So they're back in the good graces with Ric Flair. So that's why you have the Woo back. Now, the sausage is you'll have people to say, oh, our sources tell us that WWE is back in the good graces with Ric Flair, blah, 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 blah. You can see it on the intro tonight. They're going to do more documentary things with him, interviews. Ric Flair is back in the good graces, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. This plane ride from hell stuff was horrible, and, you know, Dark Side of the Ring, Vice, you know, rehashing that, and, you know, of course, look, bad behavior, you know, it's always going to be a real dark cloud in Ric Flair's life. No question about it. But this rehashing of, you know, based on emotion, you know, if it's what's happened is weird. It's weird. It's weird. And you see people doing it just for ratings, hits, views. And it's awful. It's awful. And that's why you see a lot of people that are not agreeing to do Dark Side of the Ring again. Because it's just, let's throw people under the mud. Let's step on them, stomp them. Let's remind everyone why we should be so angry and call for their heads. And they're raking in all the revenue. That's what it comes down to. They're not doing it because for the love of wrestling and to bring respect to the sport and address the negative sides. No, they're doing it to get famous and to make fucking money off of it. So, all right. All right. Little tidbit. I want to get some little tidbits out of the way. We'll recap Raw. We get out of here tonight, a little bit earlier. I did not know this. And I know a lot of you out there did not know this either. You know, one thing we do know is Pat McAfee is going to be wrestling Baron Corbin, King Corbin, Happy Corbin, whatever you want to call him, Corbin. They're going to be fighting at SummerSlam. Do you know that there actually is a legitimate NFL tie between the two? Somebody emailed this to me tonight, and I did a little research, and I was pretty fascinated with what I found. Check that out, everybody. In 2009, Pat McAfee was drafted in the seventh round, 222nd, by the Indianapolis Colts. In that same year, Baron Corbin was drafted, while he was signed undrafted, by the Indianapolis Colts, also in 2009. So Corbin got on the team undrafted. Unfortunately, he ended up being released. But they both made the Indianapolis Colts in 2009. I think that's a pretty fucking cool thing to know. I'm not saying that he had any type of NFL career for Corbin. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that you could do the storyline that Corbin has always been jealous of McAfee. McAfee could get on his show and say, this guy's jealous because I made the team in 2009 and he got his ass freaking cut. Well, he curses on his show. His ass got fucking cut. So, little NFL tie. A lot of you may not know about. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. By the way, I'll just give a little cheap plug for tomorrow night. Tomorrow night's NXT Great American Bash. And that is the giveaway for tomorrow. I got it delivered over the weekend. And somebody tomorrow is going to win an autographed Seth freaking Rollins photo from Hell in a Cell. That is more of a close-up. He is holding Cody's belt, well, the mock belt. And, yeah, that is autographed by Seth Rollins. I want to thank special someone who follows my stuff and sends me little goodies to give away for everybody out there. That is, I know some people like to make fun of my giveaways, but you know what? I don't shit these out, and I don't pay for just about all of this. If I can do somebody a favor, I will do somebody a favor. But that is an appreciation. So stop by the watch party tomorrow. Doesn't cost anything. And if you're international and your TV provider is not part of the watch party, watch Great American Bash from your TV at home. Keep your TV volume down a little bit. We don't need to hear your TV. And chat. A lot of people do it. We have Nir and others who are overseas. So join us tomorrow. We're going to have a lot of fun. Great American Bash. I think it's going to be all right. So later on, we'll give away the photos. Sting, CM Punk. Another anniversary is tonight. Oh, by the way, I got two wrestling 4th of July photos for you to vote on tonight. I was going to post a poll. Which one do you like better? For our official 4th of July photo. Now, look, I love fireworks. I love the USA. Obviously, our country has a lot of problems, and we could do better. But I live my life every day trying to do better. I am not a perfect person. Sometimes I am an absolute asshole. You know, if I was still in grammar school right now, on my report card, it would say, you know, Anthony is a good person, but sometimes he doesn't get along with others. It happens, you know, but I try every day. I try to treat people the way I want to be treated. You fuck with me, I fuck with you back. But that's not the photo I'm talking about. All right, do we choose for tonight, A, going back a little bit old school? What is that, George Washington doing the RKO? Benjamin Franklin, that fucking traitor? Fire, fire, fire. Do we go with A or do we go with B? Nikita Lyons, red, white, and blue. USA, USA. So do we go with A, the RKO from the Declaration of Independence? I don't remember fire around the Declaration. Benedict Arnold, what did I say? Did I say what? Tom Arnold? What did I even say? I got to go with Nikita Lyons. I got to be honest with you. My God, you think I've been watching wrestling since 79. And I'm not going to look, I'm taken. And my fiance is all I care about. But I got to tell you straight up, I've been watching wrestling since 79. And I've watched every female wrestler that has been on my television, plus wrestlers in Japan. I honestly cannot remember anybody that was built that way. You know, don't get me wrong. When I went to school or when I would go to clubs at night, you know, there would always be somebody with gigantic bazoombas, all natural, you know, but you would, you know, think of an Oscar Mayer bologna commercial because, yeah, they got big bazoombas, but, you know, she also weighs 310 pounds. You know, believe me, if I gained 100 pounds back, my arms would be like this. He'd be like, wow, he's jacked. No, it just, the fat's got to go somewhere. I cannot remember anybody in wrestling that is built this way. I mean, I'm not kidding. Like, her calves are bigger than my head. And I say this complimentary. I've never seen someone built that way. I'm telling you. It's find me somebody from WCW, WWE, WWF, ECW, Japan, AWA, whatever. Glow. I don't remember anybody from Glow. I think the only person that had thicker legs than that in Glow was Matilda the Hun. Or, you know, what was the one that dove onto Al Bundy? Or was it Bud Bundy? I can't remember her name. You know who I'm talking about. Someone in the chat room, will remember. So is it A, do we go from the old school times? Or is it B, we go with Nikita Lyons? I'll be honest with you, I'm going with B. I have to go with B. Big Bad Mama. Franchise props to you, man. Big Bad Mama. Kevin Milwaukee as well. Big Bad Mama. Yes. All right. The thumbnail, we were talking about it yesterday. You know, I asked you to come up with an idea. I think I did a pretty good job. Somebody said yesterday, hey, do a thumbnail that has, like, theory in it. So I said, okay, I'll have him do a selfie. Now, I couldn't find something where I can have the selfie where the camera's facing the screen where I could have imposed, you know, like, Photoshop the championship belt in a selfie photo. But I got Roman Reigns, and I kind of, like, got him in there. Is that too soon, everybody? Theory cashing in. Not saying he's going to beat Roman Reigns, but is it a little bit too soon? I say yes. I think the briefcase is designed as a stepping stone for Theory not to become heavyweight or unified champion, especially with all of the contenders sitting in the background, and then with Cody coming back in about 6-7 months, you know, it's way too soon. Now, I got two medical updates for all of you. One, unfortunately, well, they're both unfortunate. Just call it like it is. You know, last week, we were talking about Big E a little bit last week. And I said in passing that the guy's going to be out a year, year and a half. And somebody got real, I don't remember who it was. You could look on the show from last week, look at the YouTube. Somebody posted a comment. They're like, DT, you're not a fucking doctor. You know, you should not be throwing around that Big E's going to be out for a year, year and a half. You don't know what his recovery is going to be. But, you know, I do. I'm not a doctor, but I have done a boatload of reading after he had his injury. I thought about Austin's injury. I thought about Edge's injury. I thought about fusion. I thought about what happens with the vertebrae. You know, and I brought up before that one doctor, I don't remember his name, but the night that Big E had that incident, the next day when we found out a good idea of what happened, there was a doctor that's not even affiliated with wrestling in any way, like wrote this, you know, this, it felt like clickbait on YouTube talking about Big E's injury. And I watched the video and my initial thought was, wow, this guy is trying to get all the attention on him. And the guy was saying that Big E's career could be over. And it's all going to have to do with the healing process. If he has to get surgery, it's over. But he said that in the best case scenario, year and a half, and he might still be a lot weaker than before. Once you started watching and you do a little research, then you start realizing like, oh my God, this is a lot more serious than we realize. This is what Big E posted today. He says, update, my C1 isn't ossifying yet, forming a bone. I think we even talked about that yesterday. The bone is not going to magically just glue itself together. And you can't rush it. There is no steroids to speed up bone development. He says the current plan is to get more scans at the one-year mark and see how it's progressing. The great news is I feel tremendous and surgery is off the table. Thank God surgery is off the table because his career would be done. But they're going to wait a year and then see how it's progressing. So you might not see him back until WrestleMania 2024. And I'm dead serious about that. I pray as a wrestling fan, and because he loves wrestling so much, I pray that he can return to the ring. If he never returns to the ring, I pray that he can have a lifetime job in and around wrestling that he feels like he's still contributing and contributing big time. Because that is someone out of everybody. You know, if you came up with, like, give us five people that would have immunity, never get injured, never get this, Big E would probably be on everybody's list. And let me tell you something. You know, I've said this since day one. I feel bad for Rich Holland also. Imagine emotionally how that must feel. Accidents happen, no question. No question. But still, that guilt that now this man is going to be out for a good year and a half because they're going to review it a year from now, you know, or at the one-year mark. So even if they review it at the one-year mark and they say, oh, everything looks great, you're still looking at another 6 months at minimum before he could possibly return. So, man, I hope he's all right. I hope he's all right. You know, just because he tweets that, doesn't mean that he's not sobbing his ass off, you know, like really, really depressed over this. That's got to be crushing. So my heart is really with him, for real. Someone else that I also say a prayer for is Adam Cole. All right, Adam Cole, for those that may not keep up with AEW, because a lot of people don't. You know, he got a concussion at Forbidden Door. That explained what happened at the end, because you remember we talked about it was just very weird how he just rolled himself in the middle of the ring and just got pinned. You know, it was just a very weird scenario. He got concussed. And Meltzer reported it a few days ago that it's pretty serious. Now, Adam Cole has missed some Twitch streams. Now, you may say, oh, that's, you know, not a big deal. Yeah, it is, actually. When you really think about, probably the first thing he would want to do is get it out there to his fans, like, look, I'm okay. You know, I got a concussion, you know, just give it some time and I'll be okay. The fact that he couldn't even handle maybe the lights, maybe, you know, whatever it is, you know, that's a big deal. I talked to someone earlier today who says to me that he's feeling a little bit better, but, you know, he is not perfect. And you can't help but think about Bret Hart and others. You know, post-concussion syndrome is pretty brutal for some people. I'm not saying that that's the case for Adam Cole. Please do not put words in my mouth. All I'm saying is that Adam Cole's concussion was more serious than anybody thought. And I'm also going to say this too, before anybody, look, if you disagree with me, I respect that. But please do not blame his size for it. You know, I know a lot of people like to make fun of his size. You know, don't blame his size for it, because I don't believe his size had anything to do with it. Even if that guy had 50 more pounds on his body, you know, you still get concussed. I don't think the size had anything to do with it. So, you know, I was going to mention this earlier, and I think we got sidetracked with Nikita Lyons, which I guess is forgivable. You know, we have today the anniversary of our independence here in the United States. We also have another anniversary today. Happy 22nd anniversary for Santos Escobar. I guarantee a lot of people out there don't know, don't care, but we want to show a little love for Santos Escobar. 22 years ago today, he made his pro wrestling debut. Mass wrestler named Top Secret. I don't have any photos of Santos Escobar from July 4th, 2000, but he started his wrestling career at the age of 16 years old. So he's only 38, everyone. 22 years in wrestling. Happy anniversary, Santos Escobar. So Raw tonight, Jimmy Smith on vacation. Kevin Patrick took his place. I thought Kevin Patrick did okay today. I don't want to criticize him much, because that must be kind of difficult to be thrown in that position. But there was a lot of that over-the-top energy that was lacking. Go back and look when Bobby Lashley speared, who did he spear? Chad Gable. And just listen, Kevin Patrick had the call, and it was just, it felt like matter of fact. Like, oh, and Bobby Lashley gets the win. It sounded more like a video game. You know, like Jimmy Smith, I mean, obviously, he's not as animated than Pat McAfee or Cole or Graves or even, you know, some Byron Saxton. But still, Jimmy Smith will get Kevin Patrick today. He reminded me of the White Otunga. You know, a little bit David Otungish tonight. But Otungish, I just thought of that. But Kevin Patrick, I think he did well enough tonight. I want to show you something with Shotzi in a little bit. Since we're on the topic of Raw, let's talk about it a little bit. Bobby Lashley opens up the show. He's got the United States Championship. The title doesn't make the man makes the title. There isn't another man in any division or any promotion that could beat him for the United States title. My immediate thought was, give me Gunther versus Bobby Lashley at SummerSlam, please. If you want to unify the titles, by all means, go ahead. I'm fine with it. Theory comes out. Not saying it's going to happen. Do you remember when we did the giveaway about 2 months ago? Theory, signed Theory photo, and a signed picture of John Cena doing that TV thing he does, the Expendables or whatever it is, you know. Remember that contest? And remember I said we're doing this contest because the rumored WrestleMania match is Theory versus John Cena? And people throwing it in my face. DT, they're doing that for SummerSlam. They're doing that for SummerSlam. They're not doing it for WrestleMania. They're not going to wait all your WrestleMania. They're doing it for SummerSlam. And everybody's reported they're doing it for SummerSlam. SummerSlam, SummerSlam. So we start talking SummerSlam. Today we find out that Theory's getting a rematch at SummerSlam against Bobby Lashley, the United States Championship. My take on it is this. I'm not saying I'm right, and I'm not saying I'm wrong. All I know is that 2 months ago, I was told that one of the matches that are penciled in for WrestleMania is John Cena versus Theory. Period. I think one of two things is in order right now. Number one, WWE could change this shit. Just because they have Theory versus Lashley right now doesn't mean that it will stick for SummerSlam. Anything could change. But we only have two Raws left? No, we have three Raws left. We have the 11th, the 18th, and the 25th. So we have three Raws left. They would have to change it either by next week or the week after at the latest. It's only three. So they could still change it. That is a possibility. If you ask my honest opinion, I don't think Theory versus John Cena should happen at SummerSlam. I said this 2 months ago. I say it again here now. Theory is on a roll. Theory's on a roll. Theory's doing well. He is that prick under your skin that people want to see get his ass kicked. He's like what Corbin wished that he was. Theory is a future star. He's got the look. He's got the WWE look. He's got charisma. He can cut a promo. He's great in the ring, you know. But if Theory, you know, goes to the promised land too quickly and he's not completely developed yet, you know, it's like you're building like a custom car and you got like everything running, but there's a lot of extra toys you want to add to it. And you're just so excited that you're like, no, fuck it. Let's just take it out. And you don't add those extra toys. I think give Theory 6 more months. Let him develop even further. Then when he has the match with John Cena, it feels like a marquee match. That's how I look at it. If John Cena versus Theory still happens at SummerSlam, so be it. I think John Cena has to be at SummerSlam. He should. I think we all agree on that. But if that holds off until WrestleMania, to me, even better. Even better. By the way, Roman Reigns will be on SmackDown this Friday. We talked about this last week. Today, WWE made it official. Roman Reigns will be on SmackDown this Friday. The build to SummerSlam begins. Roman Reigns will be on this Friday. Brock, most likely next Friday, Roman and Brock the Friday after, and then, you know, all hell breaks loose. That's probably the way they're going to do it, which is fine. So, Theory comes out, and he's bragging to Lashley, like, hey, you got me at Money in the Bank, but I got this briefcase, and I'm more clutch than Tom Brady and Michael Jordan combined. He says he proved by getting this briefcase that he could do this all day, every day. Lashley calls him an arrogant jackass. Lashley wants Theory. Theory says tonight there'll be a 6-man tag match, and we're wondering who the 6-man tag is. Oh, we kind of regret it later on. Theory also reveals that he's getting a rematch at SummerSlam for the United States Championship. He reminds everyone whoever's the last man standing between Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns will go 8-town downtown. He says he will cash in at SummerSlam and he will become champion. We will see what happens. I mean, that would be a pretty huge night for Theory if that was all to go down, but it's not. The Mysterios are in the back. They waited a full week to respond to Finn Balor's comments. Rey tells us that it's been 10 years tonight since he's wrestled last in San Diego, his hometown, And this is Dominic Mysterio's first ever match in San Diego tonight. We have the Mysterios beating the Judgment Day of Finn Balor and Damian Priest. By the way, how do you like all that sci-fi shit? How do you like all that sci-fi shit that supposedly Edge balked and they kicked him out of the group? You realize now this dumb shit. Anyway. Judgment Day blindsides the Mysterios as they come down to the ring. That's done to just lead to a commercial. By the way, Judgment Day is using Edge's new theme music without his intro. So Edge, you know, we'll see what old school theme he goes back to. But Judgment Day is using that music. Balor now wearing the pants as I showed you. Well, I will show you in a minute. So how did this match end in a disqualification? Let me cue this up. We had a double 619 to the Judgment Day. Yeah, look, crowd enjoyed it. Kind of too choreographed for my liking. Whatever, that's fine. Referee gets distracted. Damian Priest throws a chair to Finn Balor. Dominic Mysterio is on the opposite side of the ring trying to grab the chair from Finn Balor. He does not succeed. Finn Balor has the chair. He's about to use it on Ray Ray, but Ray falls to the mat, a la Eddie Guerrero. Here is a couple of second clip. Can't show you more because we don't want any copyright issues, but you could see Finn Balor. You could see the pants. Again, this is to sync with the other members of Judgment Day, but you see Ray falls down. The referee, see the referee? He's looking at Finn. What are you doing with that chair? You remember earlier I said I loved the finish and I hated the finish? I loved the finish because it made me think of Eddie Guerrero. When Eddie Guerrero used to do that to Angle and others, he would act like he was knocked out illegally to try to get the referee to call the bell. The reason why I don't like it is because how many matches do you see where someone brings a chair in the ring and before they use it, the referee grabs the chair away from the person and throws it out of the ring? They don't get disqualified. The referee tonight did not see Finn assault Ray with the chair, but he called for the DQ anyway. So again, I loved it because it gave me memories of Eddie, but I hated it because the referee did not see any assault. Now in storyline, the referee now knows, oh, I fucked up. So now if he falls again, Ray, I saw what you did last time. So this is something where suspension of disbelief, you could only do it one time. You really could only do it one time. But Judgment Day gets outsuckered, and Finn Balor is fruit rolled up, and the match is over. So Mysterios get the upper hand. Now later on, the Mysterios in the back, and they think, oh, we suckered them. Judgment Day just beats the balls. And Rhea Ripley's on social media tonight talking about Dominic. You know, like, this is your father? This is how your father wins? I'm starting to think, could Dominic become a member of Judgment Day? I'm not saying if he should, but very interesting to see their choice of continuing this feud. Feels like it could lead to something. Just saying. Now, Miz is interviewed. He is proud that Logan Paul signed a long-term deal with WWE. But as far as Logan Paul challenging him at SummerSlam, and if you remember my show last Monday, I was talking about this, and some of you challenged me and said, no, Logan, Miz said that they're teaming up at SummerSlam. Well, DT, why are you saying they're going to face each other? And as I said last Monday, this is before Logan Paul signed with WWE, I said, in Miz's head, he thinks all is good. But Logan Paul should have a receipt for Miz, and that's exactly what happened. Logan Paul signs the contract, and he wants Miz at SummerSlam. Miz looks at the screen today. That is the look. That should be the look for tonight. We should leave that for tonight. Miz looks at the screen and says, Logan Paul, accept my offer and we will become WWE Undisputed Tag Team Champions. But if you don't, I will be relentless. I will make you earn everything and you will be humbled. So Miz is telling Logan Paul to reconsider. Now, you know Logan Paul is not going to reconsider. But we had something happen tonight. And it looks like we could have a tag team match at SummerSlam. AJ Styles takes on The Miz, defeats The Miz once again tonight, two matches in a row. AJ Styles gets the upper hand, gets the win. After the match is over, AJ Styles is attacked by Ciampa. And again, Ciampa, no words, no nothing, just beating up somebody. AJ Styles and Ciampa go at it a little bit. AJ Styles gets the upper hand. AJ Styles attempts the Styles Clash, and here comes the Miz skull-crushing finale. Miz and Ciampa leave the ring together. It looks like we will have AJ Styles and Logan Paul versus the Miz and Ciampa at SummerSlam. That looks like where they may be going with this. I like it. I like it for two reasons. Logan Paul has only had one wrestling match in his WWE career, and that was WrestleMania. Does anybody out there think that Logan Paul, on his free time, bored, not on the WWE deal, that he's been practicing? I don't think so. So he signs a deal. SummerSlam is 3 weeks away. I can't see Logan Paul suddenly being able to have a one-on-one match, even if Miz carries him the whole match. The idea, the reason why Logan Paul teamed with The Miz is because The Miz is a veteran. Even if you don't like The Miz is reliable. The Miz can get all the attention on him. If Logan Paul started stinking up the building at WrestleMania, and I know we talked about this at that time, but if Logan Paul started stinking up the joint, Miz comes in there and picks up. Just the same reason why Charlotte was added to Becky versus Ronda at WrestleMania a couple of years ago. If anything happened with Ronda, Charlotte and Becky could be the focus and do what they do best, what they've been doing for years and years and years. So Miz with Logan Paul helped Logan Paul dramatically. Miz versus Logan Paul, what if Logan Paul just gets lost? Just because he got 100 trillion followers doesn't mean that suddenly he's going to just put it all together where he could tell a story on his own. So him having a tag partner is a good idea. And it gets AJ Styles on SummerSlam. Now, as far as Ciampa, you know, I have had this conversation so many times in the past, and I could summarize it like this. Ciampa is an NXT star, just like Adam Cole was, just like Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, Keith Lee, Karrion Kross, and others. Problem is that WWE, you know, they had to make gimmicks out of Keith Lee, the Bearcat. They had to put the vest and the bow tie and the mask and the glass, whatever they did with fucking Karrion Kross. They couldn't just let them be what they were. They had to turn them into characters. They have not turned Ciampa into a character. And as much as we love Ciampa, and this show, our family here, loves Ciampa, we are very concerned with his current main roster future. You tell me why WWE would keep him, especially under these circumstances. He has not impressed anyone because even though people don't want to admit it, at the core, Ciampa needs to develop a character. He needs to develop a personality. He needs to have a connection with the fans. That is the magic crystal ball. That is the brass ring. That is the magic to succeeding in WWE. Obviously, you got to put it all together, physically, psychologically, everything else, but the number one key is you have to connect with the fans. Indifference is your demise. Ciampa comes out there, he can beat the fuck out of anybody, and fans really don't care about it all that much. They might chant, you suck, and then after, they're like, whatever. Chump has no connection with those fans. So he has to develop some type of a character. He aligns himself with Miz. They can now do something a little bit further. It's almost like Chad Gable and Otis. You know, like, if you remember Otis, they were doing the goofy stuff with Mandy, I'm Mandy, and all the other stuff. And Chad Gable really did not have this personality. Those two clicked. And Chad Gable and Shelton would have been great. There's, you know, some people, Ciampa's got to develop that. So him aligning with Miz, it should help Ciampa. But Ciampa's got to create something where the fans invest in him, whether they want to cheer for him or they want to see him get his ass kicked. So I say, you know, let's give it time. Let's see what happens. Miz should help him a little bit. We'll see. We'll see. Miz helped Logan Paul. Ciampa's got it. Now they have to work on his character. I don't think anybody disputes Ciampa is crazy ass talented in the ring. Now they have to work on his character a little bit. Look at what they're doing with Mansoor. Excuse me, Monsoir and Marseille. They could do it. Now they're developing a character for them. And look, all intents and purposes, people loved what they saw on Friday. Think about that. Two maximum male models. The glasses today are not to tribute Sally, Jesse, Raphael. It's to tribute Max Dupri. By the way, a few people asked me when I went to see my family earlier, did I do Max Dupri? I only did it to my bird. I got video, but I, you know, did like seven takes because I can't do selfies all that great with video. I looked at the camera and the bird wasn't in it. But I went right up to my bird's ear and I started like insulting the bird. And the bird turned around at me and looked at me and almost bit me in the nose one time. But I couldn't do it. I wanted to do it with my mom and my dad, but, you know, I don't know. I couldn't do it. All right. Liv Morgan comes out. Crowd is loving it. Now, a few people were asking me during the show, you know, what's going to happen with her? Is she going to remain on Raw? No, she's SmackDown Women's Champion. She's going to SmackDown. She could make an appearance on Raw once in a while, but she's SmackDown Women's Champion. She comes out, loud, you deserve a chance. She says all her dreams came true at Money in the Bank. She puts over all the competitors. She says the fans gave her confidence and the fans helped her get to this point. This championship is for all of us. She said that a couple of times. Natty comes out. Natty tells Liv, you should be thanking me because I put Ronda in that position where you got the win. Carmella comes out. And Carmella's like, why do we have SmackDown women on this show? Carmella, she's asking Natty, are you thinking what I'm thinking? And Natty, I guess, is saying, yeah, I'm thinking what you're thinking, what I'm thinking you're thinking. And they decide that they're both going to beat up Liv Morgan a little bit. You know Bianca's music was going to hit, and it did. We go to commercial, we come back, we get a tag team match. Bianca Belair and Liv Morgan defeat Carmella and Natalya. Liv with the oblivion on Natty to get the win. They toast each other with the titles after. And unfortunately, oh, let's take a picture in the back so we can post it on Instagram. Come on, Alexis. Smile. Smile for me, Alexis. God damn it. Felt bad, man. All right. We get a couple of skits of a cookout hosted by the Street Profits. We can put this back on the screen. All right, I think that one is a little better. I promise you I did not take any screenshot of what happened after that six-man tag match was over. But we had a cookout tonight, couple of goofy skits. We see Veer Mahan eating a hamburger and chips. You know, all the focus was on hot dogs tonight. And look, I don't mean to be an asshole, but I didn't think Veer Mahan was going to be eating a hot dog, unless it was all beef. But Veer Mahan eating a hamburger with chips, Ali takes his food away. Veer, there's food right in front of you. Ugh. He gets up and he leaves. Dana Brooke runs by. She's got the 24/7 championship. Reggie bumps into Omos. Omos tosses Reggie like a salad. And then we get a goofy segment. Ezekiel is talking to the street prophets. Right now, he just wants to eat a hot dog. He's got a bottle of ketchup and accidentally squirts it on someone. And it's revealed to be, hold on, Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins is not happy. We have Ezekiel wiping off the ketchup with a bun. Seth Rollins, now this is all recorded earlier because we got a match with them right after. And Seth Rollins, you know, I never saw someone be able to undress and dress into a different outfit in 7 seconds. This was earlier in the day. Rollins starts laughing like, oh, it's all right. He's laughing his ass off, and then he's got this serious look on his face. That infamous, was a GIF, where Steve Austin's like, that's what Seth Rollins did tonight. We find out that Seth Rollins is going to have a match with Ezekiel. He does, decent match. Seth wins with a kind of a curb stomp out of nowhere. Ezekiel went for a roll-up. Seth kicked out and nailed Ezekiel with a curb stomp. After the match is over, Seth Rollins is walking up the rampway. He looks at Ezekiel. He's probably thinking about what happened earlier with the ketchup. He wants to hit another curb stomp. And right before Seth could run across the ring, here comes Riddle. Riddle with the RKO out of nowhere, and he RKOs Seth Rollins. Crowd is going nuts for Riddle. No match tonight. Wonder if we're going to get Rollins versus Riddle at SummerSlam. Kind of feels like they're leading that way, and then we see what happens with Randy Orton. We then get a hot dog eating contest. Now, if you look at this photo again from the cookout earlier, we had a little jawjacking between Alpha Academy, shoosh, and the Street Profits, and basically we get a challenge, Angelo Dawkins versus Otis, in a hot dog eating challenge. Now, we see the challenge later on, but if you look at it closely, they didn't even eat one hot dog. You know, you saw, like, they're like kind of gnawing on something, but we're supposed to see it in progress. And the contest ends, and Otis supposedly ate 23 hot dogs, and Angelo Dawkins ate 22. But apparently there was someone else in the contest that for some reason they had no idea he was sitting right next to him. He did it for Kobayashi, everybody. Your winner. Your winner. Oh, oh, oh. Yeah, Akira Tozawa. Oh. Akira Tozawa. 48 hot dogs. He did it for Kobayashi. Now, hold that thought. Otis. That's the sound of supposedly of his stomach. Otis has got a stomach ache. Can only imagine what's going to happen later on. We get the tag team match, 6-man tag. It is Theory and Alpha Academy versus the Street Profits and Bobby Lashley. Match, typical Raw match. Towards the end of the match, Bobby Lashley knocks Otis out of the ring. Theory, chicken shit Theory, as we call him. His character is a chicken shit, and we love it. Theory jumps off the ring. I don't want nothing to do with Bobby Lashley, but here comes Angelo Dawkins with the pounce. Beautiful. Did you notice all of the love that they gave on commentary to Angelo Dawkins tonight? We went out of our way on the Money in the Bank recap to show love to Dawkins. That guy stepped it up at Money in the Bank. If you remember the recap, I said it feels like Dawkins is trying to, you know, imagine how he must feel that he reads on social media everything that's being said. You know, like, split them up. Make Montez Ford heavyweight champion. Let him be a single star. Think about how this guy feels. It's Angelo Dawkins, it feels like he's on a mission to shut everybody up. Those commentators went out of their way today to really, really show what Angelo Dawkins has been doing for a little while now. So he hits a pounce on Theory. He flies over the announcer's table. Otis kind of teasing a tummy ache. Montez Ford with the frog splash onto Otis. You know, obviously that's going to come into play very, very soon. Gable is back in, hits a moonsault on Lashley for a two, but Lashley ultimately gets the spear on Gable, gets the win. I'm not showing it. After the match is over, Otis is in the ring. He's holding his tummy. Chad Gable's in front of him. You okay, Otis? Blech. Spits. Whole bunch of hot dog into Chad Gable's face. And it was funny because as he's walking up the rampway, Gable was more concerned about Otis than anything else. Otis threw up on Chad Gable. Why did they do it? Because it's the 4th of July. He just ate 23 hot dogs. He got a frog splash on his big fat tummy. That's why they did it. So when he got knocked out of the ring, obviously all the focus is on Bobby Lashley and Gable, and here is, they probably had a hot dog underneath the ring. This is for Otis, no one else. And Otis, you know, chomped on it, kept it in his mouth. Blah. I don't think he's draws territory. He's going to puke. He's going to puke. He's going to puke. I don't think he could do it on command. Becky Lynch interview. She shouldn't have had to be in Money in the Bank, but she is a fighter, and she is ready for Asuka. Asuka's not ready for no-holds-barred Becky. Becky feels that tonight starts the road to her recovery career to the championship. Tonight, the repair begins for Becky Lynch. Now, I saw one super chat came in earlier. It's a little light tonight. Giuseppe, happy 4th. Who do I think will challenge Bianca at SummerSlam for the Raw Women's Championship? Okay. Well, let's talk about the main event in a moment. We'll get back to your question, but I will give you an answer in a moment. But first, we got to talk about something else. R-Truth comes out. And R-Truth, you know, he's wearing an Uncle Sam outfit. And the crowd is all into R-Truth. Hey, we could show a little video. Oh, he's shaking hands with everybody. Hey, he's coming out. So R-Truth is in the ring. And you know how R-Truth's character is. He's not talking about 1776. He's talking about 1996, the movie Independence Day. He's giving a shout out to Jeff Goldblum, Will Smith, Vivica A. Fox for saving Earth from the aliens. He doesn't have a fucking clue. Next thing you know, music hits. El Gunther! Ludwig Kaiser comes out, introduces Gunther. Gunther slaps away the wig, and the bell rings, and Gunther destroys R-Truth. Gave me vibes of Dolph Lundgren and Apollo Creed. You know, and that's what the vibe it gave me. But, hey, this is wrestling. It's entertainment. It's 4th of July. You have the evil Gunther, not an American. Great. Loved it. Where this leads, I still hope they change it. We get Bobby Lashley versus Gunther at SummerSlam. So, backstage segment with Alexa Bliss. She hasn't held anything other than Lily for quite some time, and she thinks it's time to go for gold. She's interrupted by Asuka.
Oh, and tonight I will be going for title. Because I don't know. Blah, blah, blah.
That's my Asuka impersonation, everybody. So, main event, no holds barred. We get some pretty, you know, look, they just have Money in the Bank. You know, at least Becky did. And she worked her ass off. They had, you know, chairs, tables. She went through the guardrail, the post, you know, the panning. It was pretty physical. Unfortunately, to me, it felt like they didn't get enough time. They set up a table in the corner, and we have Becky climb the ropes. Asuka climbs the ropes. She hits a manhandle slam on Asuka through the table, gets the pin, and Becky's got this look on her face like she just won a title. She's ecstatic. Oh, I'm on the road. That's it. The championship is coming back to me. And they're playing it off that this is the beginning of Becky repairing all the damage. She wins. And that's how we go off of Raw. Now, to answer Mr. Giuseppe, happy 4th to you as well. Who do I think is going to face Bianca for the Raw Women's Championship at SummerSlam? I think it's going to be a 4-way or a 5-way. I know a lot of us feel Bianca versus Becky, SummerSlam, big marquee.
that's probably the way it'll go. Hell, we're getting Roman and Brock. Why don't we get Bianca and Becky one more time? They're probably going to go that route. But if it was up to me, if you have an Alexa teasing that she thinks maybe it's time for her to get some gold, you got Carmella still acting like she's in the mix. She laid out Bianca after Money in the Bank. Yes, she lost in a tag match tonight, but she didn't get pinned by Bianca. I would not be surprised if we had several women. We might get that segment where Bianca cuts a promo. She gets interrupted by Becky. She gets interrupted by Alexa. She gets interrupted by Asuka. And then you got Adam Pearce. I say, let's have a four-way. So I think we could end up getting that. Rhea Ripley. Yes, Roderick, great point. Rhea Ripley, if she is cleared. If she is cleared. Rhea Ripley is in that mix. And, look, there is a possibility that Rhea Ripley is cleared before SummerSlam and nothing happens with Rhea Ripley. And then people will be like, hey, wait, she's cleared. Why aren't they doing this? They may wait till after SummerSlam to pick up with Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair. But personally, I would not want Rhea in a four-way or a five-way. That should be a one-on-one match no matter what. But I think that's where they're going to go with this. It was a good episode of Raw. I mean, it really was a fun episode of Raw. 4th of July, obviously the numbers will be a little bit lower than usual. Look, I thought about not doing the show tonight. I was going to simulcast another fireworks display like I did last year at the beach. But, I wanted to come here and do the show and watch Raw. And I didn't feel like fireworks tonight. So too late to have some fireworks afterwards because I got editing to do. But good episode tonight. Now, main event, we had Cedric Alexander beating T-Bar. Veer Mahan beat Mustafa Ali. That's probably why Ali is pissed off and stole Veer Mahan's food. You beat me early, I'm stealing your food. Man, where's all the outrage about how WWE's using Ali? They brought him back. Remember when they brought him back and the way they were teasing him with theory with the feud? And it just felt like it was never being taken seriously. You had Ciampa attacking Ali, never an explanation done. And then Ali's doing these promos on Twitter, impersonating like different people. And all he's addressing is Theory, but he's not addressing Ciampa, who kept beating his ass. And then they have the match and it goes nowhere. And now you look at what Theory's doing. I mean, honestly, how do you go from hashtag free Ali posting all these cryptic videos for months and months and months on his part, you get back, and now you're in the position you're in now. Is this what you agreed to? Like, what convinced him to come back and accept this? Isn't he right back to where he was before? I'm not trying to stir shit up. Did they just give him extra money? I don't know, but I know what some people are thinking. Put him with Mansoor. And put him with Masse. Make him a maximum male model. Could be money. All right. We got to spin the wheel, make the deal, and we got to talk about Shotzi Blackheart. Definitely something that we should bring up. First of all, the watch party from Friday. Someone tonight is going to win the Sting and CM Punk signed AEW photos. Yes, we brought it back again because we had such a good turnout the week before. And as you will see by this wheel, I can't even read the names anymore. That's how many people showed up and were chatting. So, hey, the more the merrier. If we get even bigger turnouts, we'll do two giveaways. We'll have two wheels split up so you have double the chance of winning. And if you chat on stage, you get like four times the chance of winning. So I'm going to spin this wheel, and whoever it lands on gets the Sting and CM Punk signed AEW photos. Oh, shit. Oh, yeah, I showed you earlier the Seth Rollins photo. That'll be tomorrow. I'll show it to you again in a second. Anyway, let's spin this wheel. Talk about Shotzi. Get out of here. 4th of July. All right, spin the wheel. Good luck. Who is getting the Sting and CM Punk signed AEW photos. Hoo. Okay, I gotta look closely. Who is that? Full Monty. Full Monty. Wait a minute. Oh my God. Who's the guy that hosts Family Feud? Holy shit, Steve Harvey? I just did a Steve Harvey. I'm not kidding. I just did a Steve Harvey. Look at the wheel. I'm not touching nothing. Like I could touch the wheel. Look at it. It's on a line. There's no winner. It can't be a tie. We have to spin the wheel again. Somebody is saying KD. This is not a Lex Luger, Bret Hart situation where they both all go over the top rope at the same time. Unfortunately, we got to spin the wheel again. I'm sorry. Hey, look at it. Could I zoom in on this? I might be able to zoom in. Let me see if we could zoom in. Let me see if I can. Well, let's see. Let's see if we could zoom in. I'm zooming in further. Look, I'm zooming in. It's in the middle. It is in the middle. So we're going to have to spin it again. Now I can't even see myself. I can see myself. All right. We got to spin it one more time. Let's spin it one more time. Somebody saying it's on Monty. It's not. It's right in the middle. Give each one a picture. That's hard, man, because then who gets what, you know? So, all right, you know what? I have six of each. We gave out one last week, so that means I still got five. Oh, fuck it. Everybody that was not at the watch party, like, could we please move on? All right. Full Monty and KD, you both get photos. You both get the set each. DM me your address. Don't assume that I have your addresses. I delete it every time. I've never been hacked in my life, but the last thing I want to do is get hacked and, you know, somebody gets everybody's addresses. Even the people who won prizes for me that now hate my guts. I would never want personal info. So I delete everybody's shit. So, all right. Yeah, I turned into Oprah for a minute. Sally Jesse Raphael meets Oprah. All right. Last thing we want to talk about tonight. Shotzi Blackheart. We talked about her the night of Money in the Bank. She did not have a good night at Money in the Bank. There were several spots that did not look good. Now, if you remember our show, we talked about her hitting her head, bouncing off that ladder when she attempted the leg drop on Becky in the ring. We thought maybe she got knocked for a loop, and that could have legitimately thrown her off for the rest of the match. It was our guess. What you didn't know was that a lot of people online, some people with very high-profile podcasts and journalists, were saying she should be fucking fired. After that performance, she should be fired. That's kind of harsh. You know, especially, you know, under those circumstances. So anyway, Shotzi Blackheart posted something tonight. And after she posted it, she got support from Natty. She got support from Alexa. Alexa even wrote tonight, "This is why I hate Twitter." You know, everybody in that match came to support for Shotzi. Shotzi wrote the following statement, and I quote, "There are three things that I care about at the end of the match. Is everybody safe? Did everybody have fun? Did the crowd react? Nobody got hurt. We all had a blast, and the Vegas crowd was hot, hot, hot. I felt on top of the world after that match and was so excited to finally have my first hardcore match in over a year. I wouldn't have done anything I didn't practice or thought I couldn't do safely. But I'm not a wrestle robot. I'm human, and slips happen, especially in a chaotic, unpredictable ladder match. I could take a joke and laugh at myself. One of the first things I said was, I can't wait to see that spot on Botchamania. But comments like, you should be fired, and other terrible things admittedly hit me hard. I had to have a few friends wipe the tears off my face and slap some sense into me and remind me who the fuck I am. She didn't curse, but she said, who the F I am. That being said, all my haters could suck my big, giant, hairy mangoes. Good for her. Good for her. We never said anything about fired. In fact, you know, Shotzi Blackheart is one of our favorites here. And we were just hyping up. I have autographed photos on the way of Shotzi facing the other way, wearing a bikini. Think Kira Hogan. Ass out. That's not why we like Shotzi. Shotzi just seems like a really cool chick that's really trying hard. You remember from her NXT days when she was doing those ridiculously careless dives and she was landing on her head. She stopped all that. She has definitely improved. She's been dealing with serious back issues and she is working hard to get back. I'm not saying this now because of that. What I'm saying now, we've said many times on this show, but I'm happy that she did that. I'm happy that she said that. I'm happy that a lot of people came to her defense because that's kind of rough. That I thought that was a little bit rough. Now, thank God she was okay. You know, shit happens. You know, now you got to work on that. That's it. Some people say, oh, come on, DT. It's because of that ass. I'm not an ass guy in the first place, so... Suck. What's her hairy mangoes? What would the mangoes be? Hairy mangoes. Does she have a... Oh, I'm going to get myself in trouble. All right. I think we are done for tonight. Once again, don't forget, tomorrow at the watch party, someone is going to win this very cool Seth Rollins Hell in a Cell signed photo. No one else has it. Someone is going to win it. We have Great American Bash tomorrow. I actually do have a couple of things. Right now for SummerSlam, this is what we have confirmed. This is some rumored matches. First of all, the Street Profits versus the Usos. Got to be a rematch after what we got at Money in the Bank. Got to be a rematch. That match was by far the best match of the night. Emotionally, we loved Liv winning. But Usos and the Street Profits went to a different level the other night. Miz and Ciampa versus AJ Styles and Logan Paul seem to be the direction they're going for SummerSlam. We have Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar, last man standing match for the undisputed WWE Universal Championship. We have Pat McAfee versus Happy Corbin. Bobby Lashley versus Theory for the United States Championship. That is five matches. Ronda Rousey is also scheduled for SmackDown on Friday, as is Roman Reigns. Would they dare go Ronda versus Liv at SummerSlam? Boy, I mean, unless we get an appearance from Charlotte, who takes out, you know, both, that's going to be a hard sell for a lot of people. I mean, Ronda has not been the Ronda we saw a couple of years ago, but, you know, suspension of disbelief, man, you know, that's going to be really interesting. Look, Liv Morgan may end up facing four people. Could very well end up happening where she faces four people. And guess what? If you do a four-way or a five-way, you can have, you know, that usual pin where somebody hits a finisher and then somebody else throws him out of the ring, and then maybe Liv Morgan steals the pin. I know it's usually a heel move to do, but I think the fans would probably pop. If Charlotte were to return, be in the match, Charlotte hits her finisher, not saying to do the figure eight, but she hits a different finisher, and she gets pulled out of the ring, and then here comes Liv taking the pin, stealing it from Charlotte? Easy. Easy peasy. So we will see. That is five matches so far. Now, for AEW on Wednesday, this is what they have advertised. I already heard that they're actually going to have on Friday Lee Moriarty and Jonathan Gresham versus two members of Tully Blanchard's group, that he set up at Ring of Honor, but it's not Brian Cage. I can't remember the other two guys there in the group. They're giving us more Ring of Honor shit on Friday. You know, they deserve to stay in the fours. And you know what? I'm very curious if TNT is happy that on Friday nights at 10 p.m. that they got a show that is getting 400 plus thousand viewers. Not 700, not 800. You know, I never thought it was a million. Remember, my average I thought was going to be between 650 and 8. But in the fours, they're doing that on Friday. On Wednesday, they're going to have John Moxley versus Brody King. You know our feelings about Brody King. You know, decent wrestler. When he took the shot on Edge, who has been nothing but praising and loving wrestling, and he is a legend, a Hall of Famer, you know, and to turn around and to say, oh, you know, this is what you buy that, you know, the House of Black on Wish. Fuck you, you fucking chubby monkey. You know, you fucking Oompa Loompa. I can't do what you do. Plus, I'm too old. See, now that's one of the benefits of being older like me. I'm too old. I'm too old to do it. I don't want to do what he does. The guy is talented, but you have proven to be a dick. And now I don't root for you at all. I have no interest. Seriously. I would rather, you know, get my private parts caught in a zipper than watch Brody King take on anybody. So we will definitely not be watching that match. Scorpio Sky versus Wardlow in a street fight for the TNT title. Expect some bullshit clusterfuck to happen there. Could we get MJF? Don't know. Got to bring him back soon, everybody. They got to bring him back sooner than later. The Butcher and the Blade versus Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland. Tony Storm and Thunder Rosa versus Nyla Rose and Marina Shafir. Think about that whole roster. Marina Shafir has gotten like 3-4 appearances in the last 6 weeks. Go fucking figure. Now, because Thunder Rosa and Tony Storm, you put the words together. Ah! Thunderstorm! Oh my God, what an amazing name. Fix your goddamn women's division. Just because it's a catchy name. There ain't no women's tag titles. Nitwits. Christian Cage and Luchasaurus will also appear. And, you know, we got the Great American Bash. I'm not going to get into the card again. We did predictions last Wednesday, but that is tomorrow night. And, yeah, Friday we get the Maximum Male Models. I'm sorry, I watched that back yesterday, and Mansoor, to me, he is loving this. He is, I'm not saying that Mace is not, Mase is not nailing it, but Mansoor, man, he nailed it. He's nailing it. So, all right, we're at 88 minutes. I'm going to jet out of here. Quietly, peacefully, we'll finish at 90-minute mark tonight. If you're part of our Patreon family, join me tomorrow night after NXT. We will be up here. It'll be off-the-cuff show, so everybody will get an opportunity to send some content in. Kevin Milwaukee, we talked about Theory Saturday and Sunday. This is the stepping stone for Theory. This is to develop him, put him on the fast track to superstardom. Is he getting heavyweight gold anytime soon? No. But the more he wins, establish himself, title, briefcase, backing it up, charisma, it's starting to click. He goes toe-to-toe with Cena. He holds his own against Lashley. You know, it's just going to help him. Just because he has that briefcase doesn't mean he's going to win it. Let's talk about that if they decide to put the heavyweight title on him. Then I'll be right here. Look, why do you think I put those two words on the thumbnail for tonight's show? Is it too soon to have Theory even lay out Roman Reigns? See, I didn't put any title belts in this thumbnail. I didn't put any title belts. Because we're not even going there with him being champion. There's too many contenders right now from Drew McIntyre down the road, and then Cody comes back by Royal Rumble. But is it too soon to have Theory maybe laying out the tribal chief, coming out of nowhere, laying him out, taking a selfie? That's the question. If you remember what I said yesterday, if Theory confronts Roman Reigns on SmackDown Friday, I got this, and I could cash in on you on SummerSlam. I don't think WWE would have the balls to do it, but if I'm Roman Reigns on Friday, I look at Paul Heyman, and you turn back and go, you just laugh your ass off. You laugh right in the face of Theory. Who are you? Who are you? You? That's what I would do. And the funny thing is, as I said, yeah, I don't think the fans would cheer for Theory. That's telling you something. So this is just the briefcases to elevate Theory. It's not the opposite. All right, I'm going to get out of here. So if you're part of our Patreon family, join me tomorrow night right after NXT. We'll talk a little bit about Great American Bash, and we'll get into some questions and stuff. Don't forget the new server. Well, it's not the new server. It's the server that's always been for the Patreon channel, but now everything has been merged there, so I can manage it, obviously. I'll be here Wednesday after Dynamite for Wednesday Night Dynamite. And look, this I have an apology to make. I waited too long. I was going to do a pre-recorded Q&A this Thursday, 7/7/22. Problem is, I didn't put up a preview video yet. I didn't put up a section on the community section for questions. So a lot of people have not sent anything in yet. And I think it would be asking much for people to do it within a day or two from now, because not everybody's going to tune into tonight's show within the first 24 hours. Some of you may tune in later on in the week. So we're going to do the Q&A next Thursday, July 14th. You will see a preview video that I will post later this week, so you can post your questions there, or you can email me, dontony@dontony.com, or you can post it in the community section. So I'm going to start pushing that. That'll be next week. I'll record it beforehand, and then we'll do it as a premiere next Thursday night. So you have a Thursday show next week. Everyone, much love. Again, I hope everybody had a great weekend. Big shout out to everybody. Shout out to everybody who is here live, my two spectacular moderators and friends, Austin and Guardian of Chaos. They really work their asses off here. And great vibes as always. Great vibes as always. And, keep, Chicago in your thoughts tonight. A lot of places around the world experience these tragedies. But tonight, you think about them. Because, I saw the guy that got arrested who's accused of this. I saw the cryptic YouTube video that he had. I saw the Instagram post. You know, again, if you remember what we talked about with the school shooting, I think social media pages need to be monitored a little bit more. There's got to be flags. If you could get flagged for airing 6 seconds of AEW Dynamite, you should be flagged also if you're teasing that you're going to shoot up a place. That's how I look at it. It's fucked up, man. It's fucked up. The worst part is that's what happens when you live in a free country. I know Bill O'Reilly said that many years ago and got destroyed over it because the way he said it was so cold, but that's the price you pay when you live in a free country. You live in a free country. Especially if you follow all the laws, you could be following everything exactly the way it's supposed to. And in the back of your mind, you got this master plan to do maximum damage. And, it's terrible. It's terrible. But my thoughts are with everybody. So have a great night, everyone. All the best. And, once again, my thoughts are a little bit with Alexa Bliss tonight. No, Liv Morgan. Still, I can't help but to remember this. We got to leave with Sami Zayn. And you all have a great night. Be well, everybody. I'll catch you all soon.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now? Now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.